you very much. It's a joy to be here, and I apologize.
Testing. I apologize for going down to make a video of the special song there, but you got to understand these people were mine years ago. Now they're this pastor's. But you're still mine in my eyes. And Angela and those children are beautiful. You see, this is the fruits of what God has used me through the years. And I tell you that to say this. There's things you can do for God nobody else can do.
Amen.
See, I believe personally that if I hadn't have gone to New York City and obeyed God, because God had me for this family.
Amen.
And if I had not obeyed God, I believe they'd still be on their way to hell.
Right.
There's people you can win. I said last night, nobody else can win. There's people you can influence for Jesus. Nobody else can influence them. Now, probably several just popped into your mind, people you can influence. And if you don't do it, guess what? Nobody's going to do it. So this morning is the third layer of the cake. I said last night, I've got four layers. And man, I can't believe we're on the third layer already. But we started last night with faith, and then in Sunday school this morning, I spoke on tithing, because I know the pastor teaches tithing, but tithing is one layer of the cake. You've got to start with the tithe. You've got to come to realize the tithe is God's. It's holy. Don't touch it. God will curse you, the Bible says, if you touch what's His. God's making it clear now. It's not the fact He doesn't love the non-tither, the God robber. God loves us all. God loves everybody. God loves the worst sinner out here. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, you've got to come to realize the Bible says if you rob God, He'll curse you. Now, when you start tithing and you come to the end of robbing God, guess what? God takes the curse away. And then He can start blessing accordingly. Notice the word accordingly. It's up to you now that you have quit tithing and you're robbing God no longer. You see, you got to come to realize in the Bible, the tithe is holy, it belongs to God, and you haven't given God anything until you give Him above the tithe. If you bring God, I said this morning in Sunday school, if you bring God, if you make $100 a week and you bring God $10, that's not robbing God. But if you make $1,000 a week and you bring God $10, you're a God robber. The first thing to come to realize is have enough faith, increase your faith to believe God and realize you can't outgive God. And then come and say, okay, I'm through robbing God. I'm never going to steal the tithe from God again. You see, if it would be better for you to go down here and rob a bank than rob God. I mean, I'm not encouraging you to do that. You'll probably get caught and put in jail and you'll suffer. But listen, you'll also suffer if you rob God. So, we're to the point now, the second layer has been laid, and now we come to lay the third layer, and that's this title this morning, What Does Stewardship Allow God to Do? Okay, we're past robbing God. We're giving our tithes now. We're obeying God. And now, what does stewardship allow God to do? Did you know it is said, somebody did a study one time, it is said that in the average congregation, 30% of the members of an average church carry 80% of the financial responsibility. Now let me repeat that for emphasis' sake. 30% of the average church members carry about 80% of the financial responsibility. Donald Trump's talking about making America wealthy again. I like all of it. Amen. I like MAGA. Make America great again. Make America wealthy again. Make America healthy again. I like it all. Amen. But can you imagine how wealthy God's church could be? And again, I said in Sunday school, not to have these big cathedrals and all that wasted money. I'm for big, beautiful buildings. I think God ought to have the most beautiful building in the community. But I'm not for these big cathedrals where all that waste goes. I think God's church ought to be clean and attractive. Amen. And when people come in, they say, wow, God must really be doing something in this church. Amen. And so if 30% of the members carry 80% of the financial responsibility, why don't we move that up and reverse it? Amen. Why not about 80% of the members carrying 100%? Amen. You see, God wants to share with you. God wants to bless you, and it's according to how you bless Him. And you've just got to learn, like I said last night, you've got to increase your faith to believe it. God will never let you down. I'm here to tell you, God will never let you down. Now, I'm just going to throw five things at you to sort of introduce this message on stewardship. Number one, and I wish this could be a whole message, but I don't have time. But number one, you must sow to reap. If you're going to reap a harvest, a farmer goes out here and he plows his field, he prepares the field, he sows the field, and then later on, after it rains and he takes care of, later on he gets a harvest. You know how the farmers work. There's a lot of farming in Pennsylvania. You must sow to reap. Number two, if you sow, and when I'm using the word sow, I'm talking about getting you a plan to try to outgive God. You can't outgive God. It's proven no one can outgive God. The more you give, the more God will return. I'm going to prove that to you tonight in an illustration the preacher mentioned. Don't miss tonight's service. You miss tonight's service, you're going to miss the most important part of this conference. So, you sow, you will reap, number two. Number three, you reap what you sow. If you sow corn, you're not going to reap wheat. Down south, I don't know if they grow it up here, but down south they grow a lot of what they call milo. They sow that up here? No? Milo. If you sow milo, guess what? You're not going to get corn. You reap what you sow. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. If you are always sowing sin, everybody's a sinner. Nobody's perfect, but we should be striving to be perfect. Just like I don't ever want to rob God, I don't want to continue on in known sin either. And I ask God to reveal sin to me that I don't even know about so I can get that taken care of. Why? Because you reap what you sow. If you're out there sowing sin, you're going to reap that. It'll come home to you. Number four, the ignorance of what you are sowing will not keep you from reaping. Like if you sow in sin, you might be ignorant of it. You might not even know it's sin, but you're still going to reap because you sowed that. You reap what you sow. The ignorance of what you are sowing will not keep you from reaping. And number five, you will reap more than you sow. Amen. It's a proven fact in the Bible. And by the way, stewardship and tithing and giving, all of it, I put it all in one lump sum. It's throughout the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And could I say this? You've got to also realize that the entire Bible is for you. It's not the Old Testament for the Jew and the New Testament for the born-again Christians in the New Testament age. It's all. The Bible is for my, the entire Bible is for my admonition. Now, I don't have to keep the law like the Jews did. That was for the Jews, but God specifies what's for the Jews. But when it comes to tithing, it's throughout the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, and I look at it and I see, okay, God, I want to become a good steward for your honor, for your glory. A steward is someone that takes care of someone else's belongings. What I have, I said, I think in Sunday school, maybe even last night, what I have belongs to God. God, sort of like he loans it to me. If you don't believe it, I own a car. I got a 2013 Lexus 350. It's a small SUV. Perfect for me. I don't like big cars anymore. But this car, God loaned to me. He lets me drive it. He lets me use it. My name is on the deed, but what I'm saying to you, it belongs to God. You know how I know that? Because if I die, guess what? I can't take it with me. Why? Because it belongs to God. Some of my children will probably be driving it, but not me. God's going to let my children use it after me. The same with the home that I own. It's just a mobile home down in North Carolina. But that mobile home, I bought it for my mom to live in. She's dead now. My wife and I are living there. We hope to someday build a house, move the trailer, and build a house. But right now, we're living in a mobile home. But guess what? If I die, I can't take that mobile home to heaven with me. My wife, if she outlives me, will live in it a while, and then our children's going, one of our children to get it. Are you getting what I'm trying to get you to grasp a hold of? Everything that you possess today is not yours. It's God's. And God gave it to you and trusted you to take it and be a good steward of it. That's why if you come to my place in North Carolina, if you could see where I live on 3.5 acres. I inherited that from my grandmother. Put the mobile home there. My wife and I are living. It's just a mobile home. You know, I've been to a lot of mobile home parks, and I just see, I'm almost embarrassed to say I even live in a mobile home because of what people think of mobile home people. You know what? You would never know hardly when you pull up that I'm even in a mobile home. I take care of my yard. I got about an acre of trees. I've cleaned out the trees, burned up all the rotten wood and all of that, and made my trees beautiful. You can sit and look out, and it's just peaceful, just beautiful. Why do I do all of that? I have to work hard to maintain that. I do that because it's not, if it was mine, I probably wouldn't do it. But you see, I have the attitude, it's God's. If you develop an attitude, everything that you have, God gave to you to be a good steward of it. Your home, your cars, everything you possess, your bank account, it's God's. God just let you have it for a while. When you die, you're not taking any of it with you because it's not yours. It's God's. Now, when you can get a hold of that and realize that you're just to be a good steward, there's a few things I want to share with you real quickly. Number one, good stewardship allows God to provide needs for you and for others through you. Matthew 6, 31 and 32, the Bible says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." Matthew 6, 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you."
Amen.
What do you need this morning? You could ask yourself that question. What do I need this morning? About everybody here has some kind of need. Then the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Righteousness is just doing right. Do right, do right, do right. A great preacher said that. Do right even if the stars fall, do right. So, I am to seek the kingdom of God, number one, and his, not my righteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I'm to seek his righteousness. And the Bible says, all these things will be added unto me. That's everything I need. Number two, stewardship allows God to demonstrate his power. Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now that's the kind of blessings I want. I don't want to do anything the wrong way. But if I can be blessed of God, that's what I want. So you know what? Many years ago, I got a hold of these principles. And I got me a plan to outgive God. It wasn't a foolish plan. It wasn't a crazy plan. It was just something that would work. I had already quit robbing God of the tithe. I started tithing when I got in the Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I quit robbing God right then. And I started learning about stewardship and trying to outgive God. And so I got my own plan to try to outgive God. And I started with about 12%, 10% tithe, 2% offering. And I raised that in the early years, just a percent or two a year, and it just kept climbing and climbing and climbing. I have never been able to outgive God, never. You cannot outgive God. Stewardship allows God to demonstrate his power. When I went to New York City, I learned real quick, I was not intelligent enough or bright enough or whatever to build a church in that city for God. I had all the obstacles against me. Everything, it seemed to be against me. I was in communities where there were burned out buildings, block after block after block of burned out buildings in the Bronx and Queens and Brooklyn and Upper Manhattan and Harlem. Block after block of burned out buildings, and it was really a bad place in those early days, 1976 when I went there. And I realized real fast, man, I need the power of God. John Morgan will never be able to do anything in New York City, not by himself. And so I thirsted for the power of God. And I decided, after I was learning all about stewardship and everything, stewardship allows God to demonstrate his power through me. He'll do the same thing for you. We all need God's power. Nobody can do what you need to do in this world without the power of God. Being a good steward will do that for you. Number three, it allows God to confirm direction. Philippians 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I don't have time, but there's a lot of Bible verses I could mention right here. 2 Kings 4:8 through 17 is one of them. Write that down and read it later. What I'm saying is, I need the direction of God in my life. Everyone needs God to take control of the reins of your life. If you have the reins of your life, you're going to mess your life up. But when you can just say, God, here's the reins to my life. I'm going to be a good steward so that you can direct. Give me direction. I said before, I went to Tennessee Temple. I didn't know where to go to Bible college when God called me to preach. But guess what? I was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And I was under some good leadership. Northside Baptist Church, Jack Hudson, some other great men of God on his staff. They mentored me. They taught me. And when God called me to preach, I went to Dr. Hudson one day. I said, where do I go to Bible college? I'd like to find something right here in North Carolina. There's a Bible college over here not far from here. There's one up here in Virginia. You know, I was wanting something close to home. The pastor had been to Tennessee Temple. And the associate pastor was a graduate of Tennessee Temple. The song leader had been to Tennessee Temple. Hey, guess what? I didn't have a chance. I went to Tennessee Temple, and it's the best thing ever happened to me. But because I was becoming a good steward for God, and I turned my life over to Him, He gave me direction. He directed me to Fayetteville to be an associate pastor. I went back to Lee Robertson a year later and said, God's called me to start a church. Where would you advise? And he said, New York City. Scared me to death. But after he said it, I went there and met with Bill Fleener that had written him a letter. And God directed me to New York City. All of my life, I have just been following God's direction. Hey, when you follow God's direction, you can't mess up. But you've got to become a good steward of all that God has given to you. Realize it all belongs to God, and you're to be a steward of it. Take care of it for God. Number three, it allows God to confirm direction. Number four, it allows God to give us the desires of our heart. Now, this is one of the best. All of them is important. But do you have desires? I think everybody here has desires. I desire for my grandchildren, and thank God I've prayed for them and I've desired it. All of my grandchildren are saved. Amen. They're young adults now. Thank God they're all saved. Now I've got 10 great-grandchildren. Guess what? A couple of them have already been saved. And I'm praying for all of them. I want them all to be saved. All of my family is saved. All of my children are saved. All of my grandchildren are saved. Now, I want to influence my great-grandchildren. I want them all to be saved. And I want them to serve the Lord. I want them to become good stewards for God. Everyone in this auditorium just needs to decide today, it all belongs to God. God has given it to me to take care of for Him. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to try to outgive God. I'm going to plan to be a good steward so that God will give me the desires of my heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, Psalm 37, verse 4. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself in the Lord. Lastly, number five, it allows God to give us an abundance, listen to this, for good works for Him. I said it allows God to give us an abundance, not just little measly amounts, a dollar here, $5 there. But it allows God to give us an abundance so that we can take care of His business. So that we can be a part of reaching souls all over Scranton, all over Pennsylvania, all over the United States through missionaries, all over the world through sending out missionaries. That's what faith promise is all about. I'm saying stewardship allows God to give you an abundance. There is no reason for God's church to be poor. If God removes the curse because people are through robbing Him of the tithe, and then they're giving, realizing you can't outgive God, then God can turn around and bless. Tonight's message, I want you to be here. I want you to be a part of it. The title is God's Promise for Your Sufficiency. God promises if you become a good steward that you'll never be able to outgive Him. And if you will just respond and obey God, God has promises for your sufficiency. God will make it happen for you for Him. Now get a hold of this, and I'm closing. Get a hold of this one thing. You don't give to get, and then you stop. The idea is, and this is the teaching in the Bible, I give to God, He gives back to me. So that I can give more to God, so that He'll give more back to me. So that I can give a little bit more than that more, so that He can give a little bit more than that more back to me. Are you getting a picture of what I'm trying to say? You start giving to God, God gives back to you. A little bit more than you gave to Him. I'll prove that tonight. Then you can give more, and He'll always give you a little bit more back than you gave to Him. And eventually you end up with an abundance. And if everybody here gets a hold of this principle and realize you can't outgive God, but you try and you see God blessing, this church will have all the money it needs for missions, to keep the church maintained for the Lord. This is His church. He's royalty. This church ought to look like it belongs to royalty. Amen? That's what I tried to do. I started in an apartment in New York. Then we bought a United Methodist church. It was in such terrible shape in those early days. I had to get in with my men. We couldn't afford to hire anything done. I got in with a couple of my men that I'd won to the Lord and some staff as we've started the Christian school and all these things. We got some good people. I even got up on the roof of the church. My dad, nobody in my church knew how to put a roof on. We couldn't afford to hire it done. My dad came up from North Carolina. He had heart trouble. He was a contractor. He knew how to repair buildings, to put on roofs. He knew it all. He just couldn't do the work himself. We got up on the building and helped my dad climb the ladder. He got up there and sat and told us how to put a new roof on that church. Are you seeing how God works when you just let Him have you, all of you? Don't hold back anything from God. Just have the attitude, God, I'm going to give You my all. And I'm going to get me a plan to try to outgive You. And I'll promise you, if you do it and you seek His righteousness, you turn from sin, you live for God, you become a holy Christian, I'll promise you, you can't outgive Him. We're going to have a testimony tonight from Brother Jose Gonzalez, that committed to give God when we were raising money. Was it for the Bible College? He committed an amount to give that's astronomical. I want him to tell you about it tonight. Jose, have you been able to outgive God? When you started and I started teaching these things, you probably didn't believe them all, did you? But you put God to the test, didn't you? You've never been able to outgive him. Angela, you grew up in our church. Your mom and dad brought you, put you in the Christian school. You've heard these things for years. Have you ever been able to outgive God? That's all I'm sharing with you, folks. I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes in my life that I regret. I said before, I sort of regret leaving my church. I thought I was doing the right thing. But now, look back on it, my health has improved. The doctors got me on supplements and medicine. I take a heart tablet every day, and God has been good to me. If I could go back and undo that, I would probably do it. But I can't go back and undo what's been done. So, you know, I just have to rest in the Lord. For all those years, for 34 years in New York City especially, I gave God, to the best of my ability, 100% of John Morgan. I'm not bragging. I lived my life trying every day to give God not 50% of me, not even 75, which would be pretty good. But I said, God, I want you to have 100% of me. I'm going to give you an illustration tonight about Bill Stafford, a graduate of Tennessee Temple, became a well-known evangelist in the South. I don't know about up north, but I know he was all over the South preaching. And I'm going to give you an illustration about how he gave an illustration about how the spirit of giving fell on the service that night. I'm going to tell you some things that happened. That's why I want you to be here. Don't have an excuse to miss. Find a way to get here. Something not working out for you? Go home and work it out. Get here tonight. You need to be here as I put the last layer of the cake on the cake. Now I want you to stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Today, I'm going to start the invitation, turn it over to the preacher. But I want to invite you to come and just say to God, God, I want to be the best steward.